Morning, guys. I love days like this. Rainy days, just kind of, you know, mix it up. We get so much sun here, and it reminds me of my childhood in Seattle as I was growing up. And I don't know how you hit this, but man, when days like this come, there's something about the afternoon, and you're like, I do believe there is a nap coming my way. Anybody else? So thank you for waking up and for being here in person. And for those of you online, I am so glad that we are together, because what is happening here and what we are doing here, both gathering together in person and online, is of eternal value. This is significant stuff that we are talking about here. That anytime we gather like this, anytime we gather together in our missional communities, anytime we gather together in discipleship groups, anytime there are believers who trust in Jesus that get together, focus their attention and affection on Him, then that is of great value, eternal value. It's foundational stuff. Hebrews reminds us that we are not to give up the habit of meeting together, but because some people are doing that. They don't want to meet together. They just kind of do their own faith thing on their own, but we are called to gather together as a community. When we do that as believers, we come together and talk about Jesus. We talk about biblical truth. We form our lives around a biblical worldview. What is happening there is of eternal value, and we are to do that because, as Hebrews says, that we stir each other up towards love and good deeds. That's what's going on. And that's one of the reasons I love what I'm getting to do right now. That essentially what I get to do is open up the Bible and stir us all up towards love and good deeds. That's what we just did in worship, stirring each other up towards love and good deeds. As you have conversations out in the lobby and you hear people's story and you see how they're tracking with Jesus, we're stirring each other up towards love and good deeds. That's what's going on. And as we open the scriptures, what we hold in our hands, if you have your own paper copy with you right now, or if you have your phone or a tablet or whatever, and what you hold in your hands are the very words of God. That He has made Himself known, and that He wants us to know His plans. He wants us to know His purposes. And what is going on here, and what we're getting ready to dive into for the next 30-ish minutes or so, and you guys can give me grace if I go long. Jesus gave me grace, you will, and you want to be like Jesus, I get it. You know, so thank you for that ahead of time. But what we are getting ready to dive into, this is what Scripture says about Scripture. In 2 Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be, watch this, complete, equipped for every good work. That's what Scripture leads us to, that we would be complete, equipped for every single good work that God has for us to do. And so, if you have your Bible, go ahead and open that up to Ephesians chapter 5. If you're using a smart device, we're going to be in the ESV version if you would like to follow along today. That's where we're going to start, and we're going to go to other verses that really highlight where we're going to be going. And so, what we have in Ephesians is this phenomenal letter that Paul wrote to churches in Asia Minor. And as that letter circulated to those churches in Asia Minor, one of the places that it stopped was the church in Ephesus. And so he unpacked all of this truth that's in there, and they began to rightly apply it. And here we are, a couple thousand years later, God saw fit to make sure that that letter made its way to us here in 2020. And so we get to wrap our lives around that. So you ready? You ready here? All right, online, get ready, here we go. So, essentially, I need you to understand what I am doing today is I'm preparing the tee box. Okay, I've got the tee box, I'm getting it ready, I'm taking the golf ball, I'm putting it on the tee, and then I'm going to leave it there, because in the subsequent weeks, in the next 3 weeks, what is going to happen is Renaud's going to come up and he's going to hit the ball. So I'm just preparing the way today. I want us to think of today as like a foundation that really sets the things in motion for the next several weeks. So think of this as part one of a four-part mini-series within the series of Ephesians, okay? Were you tracking there? Part one today, I kind of bring up just kind of the foundational stuff that will set in motion the feel and flavor and vibe of what's coming for the next 3 weeks. So just get your mind around that, and I'm just preparing the tee box. So if you know you're going to miss, if you're like, oh man, we're out of town on this week or that week, if you can tune in online, do that. Make sure that wherever you're at, anywhere around the world, that you can tune in and do that. But if you can be here, then what you're going to get is all kinds of practical, just real life, like, wow, this is super helpful to me in my walk with God, in my relationships. And it will actually help us, as Scripture told us in 2 Timothy, it will prepare us, it will help us to be complete, fully equipped to handle every good work that God has for us in all of the phases of life that we're going to look at. So it will help us navigate life on this crazy planet in a way that honors God and advances the gospel. So that's where we're going to be for the next month, all right? And not that the other things that we cover don't do that, but these are going to be like highly practical things, as you'll see. So in Ephesians 5, let's go ahead and run through the rest of chapter 5, and then I'll unpack some other things that will help us to grab hold of where we're headed, all right? Chapter 5, Ephesians, starting out with verse 22, some of the most favorite verses of the church ever. And here we go. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. There's no clapping, no cheering. Like, what's going on, right? One of the most men have used this and abused this for years, you know, like it, not everyone, but this has been one of the most widely misappropriated verses. But let's keep going. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, normally what we would do here, if you're new to Mosaic, then you need to grab hold of this. If you've been around a while, then we're going to veer a little bit off of what we do normally. Normally what we do is we now have read that. Now we're going to go through and unpack all the intricacies of all that would go on in these verses here. But I'm not going to do that today because, again, this is the foundation that will actually come next, that will actually speak into that for next week. All right, so next week, we're going to come back to these verses, and we're going to unpack them in their entirety. And so we have to get this foundational layer first so that when we hit next week, it really begins to grab hold and we get to see some awesome things. So know that that's coming. So come next week, and we will unpack all of that in its entirety. But for this week, what I want to do is go back down to verse 32. Verse 32 says, this mystery is profound. And I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. Did you see how many times in the verses that we just read together, how many times it refers to Christ in the church, how Jesus loved the church, how Jesus served the church, how he comes after the church, his body, the people of God, those of us who have placed our faith in him and are modeling our lives after him. We're following him. We're tracking with him. He's leading us. We're abiding with him. As he has unleashed the gospel before us, he has shown us love. He has shown us mercy. He has shown us grace. He serves us. He provides for us. He does everything that we need. That's what's over and over and over peppered in these verses, and that's a model that essentially builds the foundation that, as we unpack it in the weeks to come, wives and husbands, parents and children, and then the workplace environment. Like, how does that play out? How does the gospel speak into these areas? What do we need to be prepared for? So in order to prepare the way for those subsequent weeks that we're going to come into here in the next few weeks, what I want us to do is just flip a couple pages over, if you have your Bible, or just head to Philippians chapter 2. And I want us to look at some really amazing verses here that really set the stage for us to grab hold of what we're being invited into. So I want to read just a few verses here in chapter 2 of Philippians that really set the stage for us to move in a direction that honors God. So let's jump down in Ephesians 2, verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. If you are here today, or if you are tuning in online, and you say that you have placed your faith in Jesus, you are now a follower of his, then it ought to occur to every one of us who claim to be a follower of his right now, people who are called to follow in his footsteps, that what we just read there, it ought to hit us right about now that there is nothing in there that describes who we naturally are. Right? Like, you read that and you're like, oh man, that is staggering. That I don't even know if my mind, even as I've been studying it, I don't know that my mind can fully wrap around the theological reality of what Jesus has done here and the model that he has set. I mean, we've got themes rolling out here in these few verses of submission, where he is submitting himself to the plans and purposes of God. And the outflow of that submission is humility and servant-heartedness and obedience to the level where it costs life. I mean, this is significant stuff that completely flies in the face of every cultural reality we have when we leave this place, right? Like, everything that's in Philippians 2 is everything that the world outside of this box or where you're sitting online listening now, like everything that we will face in the world, it is almost 100% not that. It's not the narrative being shared in our cultural climate. But we see here that the things that Jesus displays in his descent to be able to open up the redemptive path, these are things that are just unheard of, right? Like, we see these and we see what he's doing, and it's mind-blowing. It's just like, whoa, this is so countercultural. I mean, think about the spiritual buffet that we have in Scripture. All of the realities are there, and when we go there, how many of you are like, oh, look, submission. Like, I'm going to scoop some of that on my plate. Humility, usually that's not there, but I'm going to get some and I'm going to put it there because that'll be good for me. Obedience, yeah, I'm going to, like, we don't go there. We don't want to feast on that stuff, do we? It is so different from who we are. It is so countercultural. And I don't know if this is your story or not. If it's different from what I'm about to say, man, I would love to talk to you and see how you got there. Because here's been my conversation in 50 years of life with every human that is on the planet. I have yet to hear anyone ever say, I have obtained advanced degrees, and I got to work early, and I stayed late. I made sacrifices. I mean, I went the extra mile so that I could be the most humble, obedient servant. We do not live in that space well. I don't live in that space well. That is not natural to us. It is as countercultural as you can get, because in our world, we're scraping and fighting and scratching and clawing to get somewhere, like submission. You know, like, no, it's supposed to be dominate. Obey, insofar as it gets you what you want. Humility, I don't know about that. You know, like, you're supposed to, you know, take care of yourself there. Don't be a doormat. Like, servant-heartedness, like, that everything that we look at in our world, we claw and scrape and scratch so that we can have people do things for us and we don't have to do it ourselves. We don't want to be the servant. We don't want to submit. I mean, seriously, if $1 billion hits your bank account tomorrow, how many in here would go, yeah, now I don't have to cook. Like, I'm going to get a chef, and they're going to take care of that. I don't have to do the yard anymore. There's going to be somebody to take care of that. I don't have to clean. I don't have to do whatever, fill in the blank of whatever it is that you don't want to do. See, we don't want to serve. We want to be served. And we have a Savior who went the exact opposite. He went the exact opposite. He served when he deserved to be served. And so submission, I think when we look at that, it's fine. Insofar as it's other people submitting to me. Humility, that's okay as long as other people are displaying it. But that is not the invitation we've been invited to. Like, we've been invited to avoid that way of thinking and enter into a new way of thinking. What we see is an invitation to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And if we're straight up honest, the call that we have been invited into right there, that's an impossibility if left to ourselves. That's an impossibility if left to ourselves. But here's the good news, guys. We haven't been left alone. It's not up to us to just try harder. We've been invited into this journey to walk with Jesus. Look at where the power come from. Let's go back to the verses. Ephesians 2, verse 5. Have this mind amongst yourselves. What mind? A mind of submission, a mind of obedience, a mind of servanthood, a mind of humility. Have that mind amongst yourselves, which is yours in where? Christ Jesus, right? It's ours in Christ Jesus. Not trying to stump you with a theological question. It's ours in Christ Jesus. It's right there. In other words, it's not part of your natural DNA. It's something that comes through a dynamic, growing relationship with Jesus. And as his Spirit prompts you towards obedience, to make much of him, to resemble him, to bring glory to God the Father, as you move in and out of those spaces, you begin to change. As you abide with Jesus, as you track with him, as you follow him, these are the things that he will build into your lives as you follow him. That's what happens for us. It is through him. But how did he get there? How did that happen? What does that look like? I want to take us to one more set of verses that we've actually already covered before. And one of my favorite books that we've studied here at Mosaic has been 1 Peter. And I want to take us back to 1 Peter. If you have your Bible, go ahead and flip over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at how we get there as we follow Jesus, as we're invited to track with him, and to revisit what we have unpacked before in 1 Peter. So chapter 2 brings us to this amazing reality of what it looks like to see and experience the life that God has for us in Christ, those very things that we just read in Philippians chapter 2. How does this begin to take root in our lives? Verse 21 of chapter 2 in 1 Peter. For to this you have been called. to have the mind of Christ, to respond in similar fashion that he, as he leads us this way, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. So the very things that we just read there in Philippians are ours as we follow in his steps, as he begins to lead us and they begin to take root in our lives. Then it says this, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, and he could have. Right? We're talking about the Son of God. He could have called down a legion of angels to come and rescue him, but he didn't. He held back because he was submitted to the plans and purposes of God. He had displayed humility. He was living out obedience in perfect form to God the Father. And he's leading us in this way. He did not threaten, but check this out, but continued. So this was his start, and he's in it, and this is how he's going to finish. Continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Wow. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. You see, Jesus is the only one who has ever walked on the face of this planet who could have come to the party and said, you know what, guys, I deserve better. Like, I deserve better. I should be treated better than this. Because he is eternal. He is. He just is. He has been, is, and will be. That's who he is. He is holy. He is set apart. He is in a category all by himself. He holds all things together. You know, we sing that line here at Mosaic, that he holds all things together from the rising of the sun until it rises again. All of the trillion details that are going on this planet, every single thing that happens, from the blinking of an eye to the beating of our heart, the cells doing what cells do, what the animals are doing, all the plant, every single detail is under the command and authority of Jesus. He holds all things together, which is why we sing it, because we're preaching the gospel to ourselves. We're reminding ourselves of who Jesus is and what he is able to do in our lives. And so we're reminded of that when we sing that, because that's Jesus, holy, eternal, deserves the utmost respect and honor. He deserves our worship. And that Jesus, according to Philippians 2, emptied himself and took on the form of a servant because he was fully submitted to the one who judges justly. That is where he perfectly obeyed. He displayed humility like we have never seen and never will see again. And we're invited into that journey with him. What kind of submission is that, guys? Like, what kind of submission is that? It's staggering. It's just something that is so hard to grasp. Yet what we are informed in Philippians 2 is that we are to have that same mind. That is our trajectory. That is where we follow him into. And then according to 2 Peter, that we follow in his footsteps. He's going to take us down that path. It's not going to be easy. It wasn't easy for him. But yet he submitted himself. He lived in humility and obedience to the one who judges justly. He entrusted his life to God the Father, just like will be demanded of us over and over and over. And that's huge, because here's what I have found. I've seen it in my life, and I've seen it in other people's lives, pretty much every human that I have come into contact with. Here's kind of how we flow, right? And I'm talking, this includes church people, right? Not just everybody. So when I say this, it's like, huh, that's a lot like my neighbor. I see where you're coming from, Dave. Like, no, this is us. This is where we live. Check this out. Pretty much every human I've known, we have this deeply rooted belief that if someone has hurt us, someone has mistreated us, someone has maligned us, somebody has done something to us that didn't give us what we need or what we think we deserve or what we want, then here's what happens. We feel like we can justify our behavior. We can justify our bad attitude. We can justify our anger or whatever it is that we do because of what he did or what she said or what they displayed. We try to justify it. See, if we didn't step in to this crazy mess that's going on over here, and if we didn't provide some level of justice, then nothing would have happened. And so we feel justified in this place. And my hope is that today what has happened is as we get ready to unpack the next few weeks, when we talk about what it looks like in Ephesians 5 with wives and husbands and what it looks like to love and serve and encourage and bless and be the hands and feet of Jesus in that relationship. And then the following week when we talk about parents and children and then following week in the workplace and those relationships that we have, what does it look like for us to live in this way? Because that's where we're going. That we would embrace the truth of the gospel, which is marked by the realities of submission. And out of that submission flows humility. Out of that submission flows obedience. Out of that submission flows servant-heartedness. And all of that is totally not part of your DNA. It's not part of my DNA, but it's part of what God is leading us into. And we got to grab hold of that. It's not part of who we are, but as we follow in the footsteps of Jesus, as 2 Peter talked about, as we take on the mind of Christ and he begins to form our mind that then changes our heart, which then affects the way that we live, now we're in a space where we can be used for significant things and we can see God do amazing things because here's what we're doing. We're entrusting ourselves to that ultimate authority. The one that we're entrusting our lives to the one who judges justly. And I'll tell you right now, that is super hard. It's super hard. I've seen it in my marriage where I know some things that I should do. I shouldn't, and it doesn't. I've seen it in my parenting. I've seen it in my relationships. It sounds easy. It sounds motivating. You're like, yeah, I'm going to entrust myself to God. He's the one who judges justly. It's so hard, yet it's the path that Jesus takes us on because it's one that leads to his glory and to our joy. So next week, here's where, this is what's coming at us, all right? This is what's coming at us. So we need to put our minds around that. Here's next week, marriage, all right? So those of you in the room that you're like, ha, I'm not married. I'm going to check out beach day for me. You know, like I'm going to make a reservation at one of the parks. I'm out. Like, that's not me. You know, don't. Check out. Here's why. If you are in a season of singleness or if you're called to live the single life, then here's what I want to challenge you with, encourage you towards. Number one, you know people that are married. And so what happens over the course of time, those of us who are married, we forget. We forget what it looks like to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. We forget what it's like to rightly apply the gospel. And so you're in relationship with those of us who are married. We need your help. We need you to learn this stuff and remind us of the truth of the gospel. So you need to come here, and we need you to come here to grab hold of this to remind us. And then secondly, here's this. Like, as it said in Ephesians 5, it says, this is a profound mystery that it represents Christ in the church. So if you are in a season of singleness or called to that, then here's what you get to experience, though. As we unpack the reality of marriage and that it is a display of the gospel, then you get to lay your eyes on yet a visible representation of Jesus. And the church, and what he did to rescue, redeem, and restore us as his people. So anytime we can lay our lives on the gospel, that's a big win. And we need that. We all need to be reminded of that, all right? So that's where we're going. So get ready. That's where we're moving towards, those elements, to learn what it looks like to have the mind of Christ, to entrust ourselves to the one who judges justly. Because as I launched out in the beginning, as Scripture speaks of Scripture, it is there. It is there to help us to be complete and to be equipped for every good work. So good stuff coming. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for what you have revealed to us in your word. Those things are not natural to us. They're not part of our DNA. We fight against those things. And so we need a supernatural intervention of your spirit to be able to get to where you want us to be. And so we welcome that. We know that there's going to be challenge in that. We know that that's going to cause us to step into spaces that are a little uncomfortable. But God, in that space, I pray that you would help us. Help us to move into spaces that we've never experienced before. Because we don't want normal. Normal's not working in our world. We want supernatural. We want to see a movement of God in our lives. We want to be different people. We want to be changed into the image of Jesus. We want the mind of Christ. We want to entrust our lives in faith, knowing that what you are doing and what you've called us to and rightly living out the truths of the gospel is where life is found and freedom is found. And it's in you, Jesus. And so we come to you and we beg you to show up in special ways in the days to come. As we unpack what it looks like in all these relational realities that we are in, God, would you speak life into us? Would you speak hope into us? Would you do a mighty work and begin to rescue us in such a way that we see change in us and those around us see change and they marvel at the work that you're doing, so much so that they want to hear about who you are and what you have done. So help us in this area of submission, because that is everything that we don't want. And help us to entrust our lives to you, the one who judges justly, because you can be trusted. You are good, and what you have for us is the absolute best. So we're banking on that, Jesus. Reveal yourself in mighty ways in the weeks to come. And we pray this all in the matchless, an awesome and powerful name of Christ.